This is the Friends of History Debating Society, quickly with Michael Yon. That's Michael_Yon for reporting. I'm going to put this interview up as well. Michael spent years at the Mexican-American border, not really years, weeks and weeks and weeks, going back and forth, especially in the Texas part. The numbers have dropped off dramatically. Michael, do you hear from your colleagues on the border? What is the explanation for the drop-off? Have we got that many extra personnel, or did they just figure out they were no longer welcome? What explains this dramatic drop?
I think it's an amalgam of things. One is they know they're no longer welcome. I've been told that there are some people saying that, you know, they would rather leave right now under their own terms than get arrested and end up in an El Salvadorian prison, you know, frog walking with all the, you know, whoever else gets put in there with them, MS-13 or whomever. You know, today in the Aragua and all that, you know, Bukele in El Salvador, you know, offered to house these prisoners. And I would take them up on that, not for U.S. citizens, but, you know, when it comes to, for Tren de Aragua, you know, the Venezuelan gang, who we saw huge amounts of those coming through here. And I would talk with them. I would ask them if they were Tren de Aragua, and they would say yes. They would, like, straight up, like, they were proud of it. And very serious guys, like, you know, tattoos on their face, the AK-47 on the eye and all that stuff. And so I think for some of them, it's that. Some of the invaders in the United States, let's just call them what they are, they want to leave on their own terms. Others just don't like America. I mean, I've talked with quite a few that are, they get to America and they're like, that'll be enough. And they want to go back. Like, remember Medese, she got in from Haiti, and at some point she wanted to go back to Haiti. Now I think she's happy in America. But some, for whatever reasons, want to go back. But one of the things that's becoming more intense is that it's difficult to get in, right? And you may get arrested coming in now. And that takes the fun out of it. And also, you know, law enforcement now is starting to be much more aggressive in going after them. And so, which is what needs to be done. Again, many of us have been saying, there's been people saying this since before I was born, we need to close the border and be more serious about it, right? And the drumbeat only increased over time. And finally, it got to be such a flood where people said it's impossible to close the border. I'm like, it's child's play to close the border.
Right.
And it's working now. It's really, you come down and you say, we're going to go to war with you. You know, by the way, there's reports now that some former U.S. military members are working with the cartels down there and leadership and training positions, such as former Green Berets and Delta Force guys and SEALs and Rangers. I've heard that for years, actually, from Delta types and Green Beret types. And I'm like, you know, if this ever comes down to it and we ever declare these cartels as terrorist organizations, that's pretty serious, right? I mean, now at that point, you're working for a terrorist organization. And so if there are any active duty military or former military retired or U.S. citizens working for the cartels or even vaguely related to the cartels, whether you're inside of the United States or in a foreign country, your life is at risk right now from the United States, and rightfully so. It's time to cut rope and get away from those guys because stuff's about to get serious.
Yeah, they got drones on them right now, and it's okay with Mexico City. The news last week, reapers are over the cartel, Sinaloa especially. They're not armed reapers. It's pretty easy to arm them. But right now, it's constant surveillance. And the possibility is, Michael, that that could lead to a military strike. That if the Mexicans don't do it, we'll do it, and the Mexicans back us up. There were complaints in Mexico City last week, and Sheinbaum was asked, the new president, and she said, everything's okay with me. She's become known as a Trump whisperer. She tells the president what she wants to hear. They say they put new National Guard at their border. However, the cartels are completely integrated into the governance of the northern states. You know this. They've got too much money. They buy the mayors, the governors, the deputies, the sheriffs. So if there's
going their own resorts,
if
these aren't street thugs, big business people.
They've got lawyers and accountants and money laundering in L.A. They're just like an American corporation. They're run very carefully. All the money's accounted for. All the drugs are accounted for. The fentanyl from China is part of their supply chain. Now, we put surveillance up. Michael, you're a combat veteran. Do you put surveillance up if you don't mean to pull the trigger? What is your opinion?
Well, you put the surveillance up to gather information and make your decision. But the difference between an armed drone and a fighter aircraft coming in is like 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's unarmed, I mean, it might be an unarmed Reaper at the moment, but you know, that downlink is going to multiple headquarters, and all they have to do is vector in an aircraft and start dropping JDAMs. You know, it's quite simple to go from just watching to, you know, watching hundreds of bombs fly from the bottoms of aircraft.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. It reminds me of an old cowboy movie. It said, son, that weapon, that gun of yours better start shooting 2 seconds after you clear the holster, or you're a dead man. And I've always known that if you're going to show a weapon, you're going to use it. And they haven't, they've shown the weapon, but they haven't shown the missile yet.
If they're going to actually do something and they've got competent military advice and they're actually heeding it, they're going to develop a picture first. They're going to develop, you know, and they're probably not going to come in and just like, you know, pinprick a little thing here or there. They're probably going to, I mean, I'm just guessing what I would do and what they have done in Syria and other places. If they're going to do something, it's going to be sudden and it's going to be very violent, and it'll be on, you know, right where people live type things, right? I mean, they will know. There's no way that the cartels can actually hide. It's impossible at this point, because they have all of their historical phone data. They have all of their data, right?
They know where they go
to the bar. They know where they go to the drink. They know where their girlfriend lives. They know everything, right?
Right.
And they will have that data for years, and they'll know their patterns of life. They know where they sleep. There's no way to hide without changing your complete lifestyle and changing, you know, it's very difficult.
I want to add one detail I learned today. The man who's been named chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he needs to be approved by the Senate, but that looks pretty positive. His name is Kane, call sign Raisin, Raisin Kane. It turns out, Michael, he was one of the two F-16 pilots on 9/11 that, I think this is correct, that got a shoot order on 93, one of the two of them. And that is also the general that was put in charge of reducing ISIS in Syria with air power. That sounds like the sort of training you'd need if you were going to go after the cartels from the air, doesn't it, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know somebody who's a good friend of his, and that's how I learned yesterday that Dan Kane has been nominated by Trump. He messaged me several times, and he knows Kane very well. He said he's a very solid guy. So I asked a few other people, some of whose names you definitely know, we've talked about before. And also everybody's saying he's a solid guy. I don't know Dan Kane. I've never talked with him. But from my friends who know him, it sounds like he's ready to, you know, to be an actual war fighter. I hope so. That's what we need. I mean, right. We need to get rid of pretty much all of the 4 stars. Just carte blanche, get rid of every single one of them.
All right, now let's close the loop on the Darien Gap. If there is a warfighter and he's tasked to go after the cartels, with the cartels being hit hard, does that close the border entirely? Because the cartels are running major pieces of that story. If they're on the run, does the border shut down to zero?
I don't know that it'll ever go to zero because there's always going to be, you know, but I mean, my goal would never be to actually get it to zero. It would be to get it down to some such a tiny angel dust number that it's easy to then, you know, track them down, right? Because there's always going to be somebody that's running from the law that's going to make a run for the border, you know, that sort of thing. But once you get the numbers down to a certain low level, then the Border Patrol and local law enforcement should have no problem tracking them down piecemeal, right? But right now, I mean, we were at a state that we were being overwhelmed. The Border Patrol just simply could not handle it. And the Texas law enforcement, at orders from Governor Abbott, were actually helping people load. I got video. They can deny it all they want, but video that I made many times with Texas law enforcement and Texas Guard and everybody else loading up the buses, including National Guard as well and Border Patrol, loading up the buses and being part of the cartel operation. Our government was running the invasion openly. I had many, many videos, and I was across the entire southern border. It took me many months to do it, all the way from SpaceX to San Diego. I've been across the whole border, a lot of that on the Mexican side. On the American side, sometimes the American side, they would hassle me so much, such as Eagle Pass, that I went and stayed at Piedras Negras on the Mexican side for, I don't know, a couple weeks, because I was on the other side of the Rio Grande, where, you know, the Mexicans didn't bother me. And so I would watch the invasion. They would cross right in front of me, like 3 feet away, go into the water, cross over, and the U.S. National Guard and Border Patrol would pick them up and put them on the buses, you know, and I would photograph them. You know, I shouted at them sometimes, like, hey, you're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? Because they can't arrest me from the Mexican side. You know, Mexicans are just laughing. You know, the American side, actual people in uniform, loading them up. I got tons of videos and photos that I made with my own hand. That way they could never say in the future that, no, those are faked, or, you know, who's the source? I'm like, me. I shot them. Here's the camera. Here's the camera data. Here's the camera serial number, right? You know, I mean, this is straight up U.S. law enforcement and military were part of the invasion force. So taking out the Mexican cartels, you also have to make sure that we start prosecuting leadership such as Alejandro Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security Chief. We have to go after Amy Pope at IOM. We have to go after the highest and the Catholic Charities NGOs. All these people, you know, I've been in the Catholic Charities facilities over on Texas side and on the Mexico side. And Catholic Charities are straight up human traffickers. And so is HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, Norwegian Refugee Council, Red Cross. All of these people are directly involved. And we've got videos after videos after videos shot by me and probably hundreds of other people, but dozens of other people that I've seen shooting them, including many that I know personally. So we have many, many witnesses to this and much proof, and there needs to be prosecutions. If this is the thing, if Trump takes out the United Nations, let's say he does not take out the United Nations. If he does not take out the United Nations, then the plumbing remains intact, right, when he's gone. Because as you know, Trump's power will begin to abate within about 2 years, right? And then he'll be gone in 4 years, right? So if he hasn't taken out the plumbing, they can just turn the water spigots back on again, and the flood continues. But if he's taken out the United Nations and we start prosecuting people that were involved in this, then people are going to have a lot of second thoughts on whether or not they want to get involved in the fund next time when they like, hey, you know, they put, you know, hundreds of people from the United Nations and HIAS and Catholic Charities and Norwegian Refugee Councils. These people are in prison, right? No joke, prison. Alejandro Mayorkas needs to be in prison. We have proof that he was down in the Darien. I was physically present when he came, and they were publishing it on his own Twitter that he was inside San Vicente camp, and he brought more money to increase the flow through the Darien Gap. Alejandro Mayorkas used to be a board member at HIAS, you know, because he's the child of Cuban refugees, he's Jewish refugees. That's why he was on the HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. And I'm not picking on Jewish. I'm talking about all of these people, like Lutheran Services, Catholic Charities, Norwegian Refugee Councils. They have either organically or been hijacked, and these names and these organizational structures are being used to invade the United States. So you go to HIAS.org, HAIS.org, and you can see a congratulations letter to Alejandro Mayorkas congratulating him from leaving his board membership on HIAS and going to Chief of Department of Homeland Security, where he was basically an enemy general, as Matt Bracken often puts it. Alejandro Mayorkas was basically an enemy general in charge of our forces, including Border Patrol, right? I mean, this is quite serious. These people need to go to prison.
Michael Yon. Michael is in Panama City, right next to the Highway 1, which leads to the Darien Gap, several hours from where Michael's standing. He's watching the construction of the new bridge, said to be financed by a Japanese bank. Behind that, we do not know. However, the U.S., since the Trump administration became active in looking into Panama has told us that Panama is under risk because of China's interest in closing Central America to the United States, undermining the governments of Central America. That's what the Trump administration has pointed to, talking about the two professional organizations, landing spots, cargo handling at either end. Michael's near one of them right now, owned by a billionaire out of Hong Kong. At the same time, we're told that the Chinese have made money available to the Panamanian government. The Panamanian government says that it's going to leave Belt and Road that it joined several years ago. There's no indication that Panama will move its allegiance back to Taipei from Beijing, because several years ago it moved from Taipei to Beijing. There's no indication that President Mulino is going to go that far. There is some indication that there's still friction between Washington and Panama City. Michael Yon, at @Michael_Yon is his Twitter address. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Great foghorn. I'm John Batchelor. That's well done, Michael. I'm John Batchelor.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.